All right, let's get ourselves and keep ourselves in fellowship. That's a challenge in our Christian life, and be always prayerful with regard to yourself and your understanding of God and His plan. I have a verse for you from Proverbs 18:13. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and a shame to him. So for all those who, I'm out of here, and I'm not going to hear it out, they fell right in the middle of that verse. And if you have a chance to talk to them, you need to exhort them to hear it out. Don't you think on any topic, that's the least you owe your pastor teacher, that you hear him out? I'm not trying to force anything down anybody's throat. I never try to force any doctrine down anybody's throat. It's out there. Do with it what you will. Here it is. The truth challenges our whole worldview of things. It's done it over and over again. And we've looked at the Scripture, and those of you who were intellectually honest and demonstrated yourselves to be, there came a point where you said, that's it. It can't be anything else. But if you're closed-minded and you slam the door, that's like trying to explain to a dyed-in-the-wool Catholic that Mary isn't deity. You could give them Scripture till hell froze over. No. And there are people who are what I call ideologues. And that becomes fanatics. There's nice fanatics and there's not nice fanatics. But they're not going to hear a thing out. So intellectual honesty is on the table. It's on the line. All right, analysis. On the fourth day of Restoration Week, Elohim establishes the luminaries, Maor, shining down on the earth. Let there be, see verses 3 and 6, is divine sovereignty and omnipotence bringing something that was not previously in existence, light and firmament, in those two instances. Something that wasn't around. It's fair to report that each, and I know I have to belabor this, but I feel like I do anyway, that the thing that was brought into on a 24-hour day over that time didn't exist before. So now it's established. Now we're at the middle of the week, and in the middle of the week we finally get around. You'd think that had come first, but no, God has His reasons, and He has revealed this to us through His servant Moses. Luminaries in the firmament of heavens designates the realm where the luminaries were placed. The firmament is a dome over the earth separating third heaven from lower heavens. These luminaries are not, again, you're going to have a lot of questions and you can make fun of it. You have to think about this. We don't have someone out there in a outside taking pictures of this thing. That's not possible because they can't punch through it. Some have indicated they've tried. Because the people at the top, Psalm 2, they know better. It's driven by their hatred of God and keep the masses in line and keep them screwed up. That's what they did from the Tower of Babel forward. We got to keep the masses in line and get them to believe that that we're deities or semi-deities and this is and we're doing everything for their best interest while they exploit them every which way. These luminaries are not located outside. I should have put that in emphasis. They're not located outside the Earth environment with its firmament, as is affirmed by modern astrophysics. A single light introduced on day one served the purpose as stated here, which was to separate the day from the night on days 1 through 3, reporting to you all the Hebrew cosmology. The light moved over the earth in the same way that our sun currently does. On the first 3 days, there was no light on the surface of the earth during the nighttime hours because there wasn't a lesser light, as far as I can tell. This is in contrast to the enhanced phenomena of the introduction of both daytime and nighttime lights. Daytime, nighttime lights one for the one, and a lot of them for the other. Neither of the two phenomena canceled the darkness that God created as a result of the fall of Satan and his angels. We well know that. Darkness still exists in this environment. And it will continue to exist until the end of the millennium. But in the new creation, we won't have to deal with darkness anymore. Dark matter persists within the firmament throughout the course of human history. Darkness will be non-existent in the eternal state with its new heavens and new earth. We'll look at a couple of scripture real quick. Of course, you're familiar with this. This is when we did Revelation back in the day, not too long ago, actually. And I was dealing with the New Jerusalem. Brenda came up to me after class. She says, "I think the earth's flat." The new earth she was referring to. I'd say make a lot of sense. To put something that's 1,600 miles on a curved surface does not sound too cool, does it? Doesn't look like it look right. And the engineer would be stupid looking. Somebody says, "Well, the earth is so big. So the New Jerusalem is just like a little pin stuck in something." That looks stupid too. You got to keep it spinning. There's no reason. No reason at all. So the new earth will be modeled after the other one with some changes laid out in the Bible. All details are not given because that's, you know, not, but enough is given to give us some insight. I don't know if I got, the right verse here. Excuse me. "And there no longer will be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp," artificial light, "or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever." Who's he talking about here? He's talking about the new creation. And he's talking about people operating within an environment of course, God's brilliance is so great, but he can tone it down. So we can so regular humans can handle it. And I got in trouble with that with somebody too. I got email when I taught that natural humanity is going into the millennium, and I gave all the documentation and all the rationale why while the people of the millennium, the believers of the millennium, go into the eternal state. I talked about how they had to eat, how they had to take this antidote from the leaves of the tree or for the healing of the nations. Good grief, if they're all resurrected, what do we need to be healed of? Healing requires that there's an ailment. Okay? And so they can't go into the New Jerusalem if they don't get rid of their STAs. And it's just, and it all follows a perfect pattern. Adam and Eve messed up our DNA when they ate of that fruit on two levels, at least. One, they introduced the aging gene. Two, they introduced the STA and probably disease and other breakdowns as a result of that sin. That's going to be reversed. I pointed this out. And I said also in the beginning of Revelation there that when this is the first resurrection, meaning it's done and wrapped up. Resurrection of Old Testament saints at the second advent. And the second resurrection is strictly for unbelievers. First resurrection category covers all categories of believers in the dispensations, excluding the millennial saints. So what happened in the garden will be reestablished. What they messed up in the garden will be reestablished. Humanity procreating and living without disease, without age, without sin. And these are the kings of the earth, and there will still be nations. God likes nations. Even when everyone's behaving themselves, which they don't do today, but he broke them up into nations. He put mountain passes and seas to keep them apart from each other because they're such idiots. They get in all kinds of trouble. So he has nations in the eternal state. I point all this out. They didn't keep up. They fell behind. Oh, well, let's say it doesn't take a big toll. It takes a toll. There's a reasonable amount of time that a person comes to conclude that this is the truth. Remember how long it took Jacob to wake up and see through the boys? Jacob, he's not some lightweight. All those years, he thought Joseph was dead and he was miserable. And there was no reason for it. God works all things together for good, though. Don't we know that? In spite of our stupidity and stuff. It took all this time. And what was the tipping point for Jacob? All his grown boys who now started acting like they were supposed to, like believers, with all their weaknesses, but not the crazies they were back in the day 13 years earlier when they were out there just, you know, doing what they wanted to do and not taking the plan of God seriously, like some believers around here. What was the tipping point for Jacob? The boys all standing in front of him saying, "Joseph's alive, Joseph's alive, we've seen him." I wonder how easy that came out of their mouths. We've been big fat liars for 13 years. And it's amazing they kept a lid on that thing. Because they get with women and women talk. Did you hear? The tipping point for Jacob. They're talking. They're running their mouths. They're telling him the right thing. But he's not paying much attention. He's looking at those wagons. They brought all the goodies up in. Because they were in a famine. Those are Egyptian military wagons. They wouldn't have got those. If Jacob, they didn't go up to the Egyptians. "Hey, can we borrow some of your military wagons?" No. That was the tipping point for Jacob. And he didn't scream at them. I mean, I'm going by the record. He didn't scream at them, call them names, and all the rest. He just said, it's kind of a believer clicks. "Joseph's alive. Let's go see him." No. Why'd you do that? Well, that's worthless. It gets nowhere. So with every doctrine, there's a tipping point. Sometimes it comes real quick. Oh, rebound makes perfect sense. But then you grow in the doctrine and get more stable in it and get more appreciative of it as you learn and as you apply and as so forth. So there is, for the intellectually honest person, there's a tipping point. Pride be damned, or you don't. You don't keep up. You fall behind spiritually. You lag because you're not doing what you need to do. Quit listening to people who are antagonistic, who come up, and they don't have to be mean antagonistic. "Well, I see the space station up here." You don't know what the hell you're seeing. I'm going with the Bible. Bye-bye. The Bible doesn't support this. So, you have to make a stand. And you can do it in a kind and in a quiet way. But you have to be firm with some people who are trying to be a stumbling block to your faith. You can pray for them, treat them in kindness, make applications towards them. But there's a behavior pattern that you need to have with regard to others. Patience, so forth. And if that's an environment where there's all this hostility and all this stuff, you didn't even hear it all out. "I've heard enough." Okay, fine. Now, that's where you're at. I want to do one other. Excuse me. Isaiah 60. Things we've been pursuing Scripture, but there's some stuff still in there. I know it too. It kind of nags on me sometimes. And look, there's a time. You know, Ecclesiastes, back to that. There's a time for everything. I don't know why God waited so long to get this over to me. I'll take it up with him later. But I won't get anywhere with it. Maybe it'll make me feel better. I doubt it. Isaiah 60:19. "No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor the brightness of the moon give you light. Brightness of the moon give you light. But you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. Your sun will no longer set, nor will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light." Kind of like a poetic verse way of putting it here. "And the days of your mourning will be over. Then your people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The smallest one will become a clan, and at least one a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. We got some phenomenal things ahead of us for the eternal state. We haven't even got to the millennium yet. The glory of God served the purpose of separating day from night for just 3 24-hour cycles. On day 3, the newly created plant kingdom was bathed in the light of God's glory, only to be greeted with the heavenly luminaries on day 4. 15. Two categories of luminaries are in view, with one dominating the day, and an innumerable number of luminaries providing light upon the earth during the evening hours, with one of those being predominant. 1 Corinthians 15:41. Luminaries are used as literal luminaries. They're used for angels, and they're used for believers as lights or Get this. Verses now are going to jump out at you, those of you who get ahead of the curve, that before was obscured. It's the way it is. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from star in glory. He didn't make them all alike, all the same size. Different illumination, different placement. Everything was placed. The universe, as we have been taught, this environment is not chaotic. The result of an explosion out of nothing. And they're serious. I've seen them on YouTube. These scientists, you're crazy if you believe in a designer. And you're stupid. Everything came from nothing. Now who's stupid and crazy? We see that every day of our lives, don't we? Something developing from nothing. Again, the doctrine of separation is featured in the restoration narrative, highlighted here by the natural world. The separation of day from night is the primary aspect of the introduction of these two new categories of luminaries in 3954 BC. I keep pounding on that. 3954 BC. The sun isn't that old. And it will not have that long of a life. 7,000 years. Minus 3 days. In the second half of verse 14, we have God declaring on day 4, 4 additional services of the luminaries set against the canvas of the firmament, it being one of the features of the heavens, hence the designation as heaven in verse 8a. For yet another term to signify the firmament, and if I do a complete doctrine, I'll separate out the different categories and try to bring the scriptures together. I'm still working in progress on this. I got the basic outline, but I've got more stuff will come to me. I'll figure out other things. Verses that completely escaped me in the past, and do I have one that's a real dilly? Oh, it stands out there by itself. Try to explain that one with the current view of things. It's just crazy. Psalm 19:4. Their line has gone out through all the earth. And their utterances, this is the inaudible witness of creation to the Creator. What could be clearer to the mind of man than we have this elaborate creation, whatever aspect of it you are viewing and looking at, looking up, looking down, looking wherever. And you have to, as a normal human, everybody who's normal, comes to a realization of a supreme being. A designer, if you will. How to get here? And that is called God consciousness. People reach God consciousness at different ages and different cultures. But I don't care. The most primitive culture, the most advanced culture, God awareness. We are created soulishly in the image of God. We, therefore, look and see, and from our human experience realize that things came to be like they were as a result of the workmanship and the expertise of other people. But then we look at this natural world, and there's the God thought. That is a critical point in the life of everybody, because there's two types of people. One who want a relationship with Him and figure it out, Not necessarily at the highest level. They may only go to salvation. The rest tend not to. When you reject God, you've had it. And that's Romans chapter 1. Read it for yourself. So this is the inaudible witness of this constant witness before humanity of the creation. That's why Satan had to come in with ideologies, fake science, knowledge falsely so called, lifted up against the knowledge of God, institutionalized, promoted from entertainment to every kind of a way imaginable, till it's just ingrained in people. Their line has gone through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them, he has placed a tent for the sun. A tent for the sun? That's just poetic language. You sure it is? You bet it's poetic. But it tells me something. Poetry even tells me something. It doesn't tell me, I actually mean the opposite here. It can't be. The list of four is introduced by let be. Their placement in the heavens was precise so they would serve as signs. In a chaotic universe, it is hard to imagine these things that all line up perfectly in 12 constellations and remain that way all through the known history of mankind. They're not going anywhere. They name the stars. And we have this great picture of the plan of God. We call by pagan names Virgo, the Virgin, and so forth and so on. And the pagans took it and they put their own little twist on it and worshiped the stars, worshiped the sun, and worshiped the moon, which the Bible prohibits. How many faces have you seen where the face of the has a face on the moon? I saw one in a Mexican restaurant the other day. They were sun worshipers. They were sun worshipers. But many other people were too. They're not alone. And the pagans did not want God. These people did not want God in their thinking. So what did they do? They said, well, these stars and all this stuff under this thing here is, that's what the gods, the deities inhabit those. And come to earth every once in a while. That was their version of aliens. That we have today. There's aliens out there. There is not. There are demons who can pose and look in any kind, from little gray men to whatever. In this environment, it eliminates all that. This eliminates so much. All these ideologies, if mankind had stuck with the true picture of the earth and the luminaries and all that, evolution would have never got any traction. They needed a big place and billions of light years. They needed that. It all collapses. As all false systems will collapse before the truth of God. This includes the 12 stations of the zodiac set in 360-degree circle, which is universally known. 23, the interpretation of these signs required divine enlightenment on the part of those who interpreted these signs properly. There's books out on it, The Gospel and the Stars. Written. Those are pretty old books, so I don't know of any recent ones. By theologians, trying to figure all this out. Satan's featured in there too. There's a serpent thing, line of stars. Huh. And it's not made up. I mean, it's God did this. The historical outworking of the plan of God is taught in this elaborate parade of individuals and animals, each contributing an aspect to the advancement of the story of redemption. 25. In all the history of mankind, these starry pictures have remained the same. This all speaks of a creator versus the chaos one would have expected in a Big Bang scenario. The sun and moon play into this sign aspect as well. Revelation 12:1. Yes, people are going to misinterpret some of it, but we used it with regard to the information for the life of Christ, the birth of Christ. There were signs, and some Persian fellows, intellectuals, they were watching these things. And they came, and they were the only VIPs to visit Jesus when he was born. No other VIPs. Some shepherds. I mean, actually come to the and honor him, not just at his birth, but in his, they came to see their Savior. And they're clear 500 miles over in Persia. None of the dignitaries from Jerusalem came down. Just because you're close to the truth and close to things doesn't mean you get it. Revelation 12:1. A great sign, to differentiate from just a sign, appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun positioning, clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. All right, well, that's one we've looked at. 27, the four seasons are calculated relative to the moon. Now, maybe you think of it in terms of the sun, but really it's the moon. He made the moon for seasons. Psalm 104, and I didn't put the verse in. You have to find it yourself. He made the moon for the seasons. The sun knows the place of its setting. The sun is an inanimate object. How does it know the place of its setting? It's programmed to do this. It's on a circuit. Stick with it now. Because if I was an unbeliever and I had you, I'd say your Bible teaches a flat earth. Quit playing games with me. This is all these ancient cosmologies teach a flat earth. You want to do your own research, I encourage you to do so, but do your own research. The Norse, the Greeks, the Egyptians, all of them, flat earth. So the Hebrews figured out that it wasn't really that, it was a Copernican model. It doesn't fit with this. I beg of you, this doesn't fit with this. To shoehorn this in here is ridiculous. And it's intellectually dishonest. And I'm sorry I ever did it, but I can't change that. For days and years enables man to track human history. The regularity of the movement of the sun and moon over the course of a year is a vital aspect of human life. In verse 15, we have yet a third let be, which reiterates verse 14a, and makes explicit that these luminaries were placed in the firmament of heaven as to give light on the earth. Jeremiah 31:35. Start reading your Bible. Get you a concordance. If you have an electronic one, it's a lot handier, I'll tell you. I'm constantly grateful to God that I don't have to look this stuff up, except type in what I want, and boom, there it is. How many times does this word occur? I remember the old days, and I shudder. I had to get a book down, and I had to count them, and turn pages. Anyway, thus says the Lord. See, God likes to boast because he can, and he's not sinning when he does it. Because he identifies who he is. Thus says Yahweh, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of the armies is his name. That implies he controls weather and other factors. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel will also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth search out below, then I'll also cast off all the offspring of Israel. This is an area you can't explore. Can't get to it. For all that they have done, declares the Lord. All their stunts. Okay, and it was so is the repeated refrain, verses 7, 9, 11, 15, 24, and 30, signifying a complete success with regard to the project assigned for day 4. 32, in other words, this is the reality of the establishment of the luminaries above us. No other viewpoint as to the origin of the heavenly luminaries is valid. Big Bang with its chaos, whatever system might be that they had and now is in vogue. You might type in the Big Bang Theory and see where it started. You might find that interesting. It sounds like a recent thing, but it was been a while. This was advocated by some cleric of all things, Catholic, probably Jesuit. They're lovely. In verse 16, the human author supplies a breakdown of the three categories of luminaries assigned to give light on the earth. First, a look at the verb made, which has the related meaning do, fashion, accomplish, manufacture. 35, it was first seen in the account of the fashioning of the firmament, the rakia. It's fashioned, that word, which verb means to beat or stamp out something. Also in verses 11 and 12, for the inherent ability for plants to replicate their species based on genetic programming of their seeds. Another miracle. God did it. Seeds could have never evolved into that. Ever. So, that doctrine is so hateful, so satanic. But it fits with people who do not want God in their thinking. And these people, some of them, are open. The Carl Sagans, these kind of people. He knows better now. These kind of people openly are anti-God. When questioned about God in light of their scientific genius, so-called, and all of it, they discount God. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. Okay. In verse 25, it is used for the creation of the animal kingdom. That'd be interesting to watch. All of it would. I mean, if you could see just a little section, because you're limited to what all you could see, but you start seeing all these critters popping up everywhere. Wow. So they think we're crazy. We know they are. That it was an accident. It is used in connection with the creation of man made in the image of God. God planned it, and then God executed it. I'm not going to get into man, and that's not why this study was launched off into. In verse 31, it is used in a summary verse for all that God accomplished in days 1 through 6. God saw all that he had fashioned, all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So they kind of a review. And there was evening and there was morning. Day 6. Regarding the fashioning and creation of man, see Genesis 5:1. I mean, there are select verbs used. They're real simple verbs, usually. And yet, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. The created part, the ex nihilo part, is the soul spirit. The outer man, the overt man, he made himself from the dirt of the earth, dust of the earth. We're all made up of chemicals. So that fits science. That fits good science. We're all made up of chemicals. Some real scarce, some like calcium, real prominent. But we need them all. So God did that. So for people who mock this and, oh, that looks, yeah, that's great. Makes the only thing that makes sense. To me, of course, I'm prejudiced. I'm a Bible believer. Genesis 2:2. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Not resting for the usual reason people rest, or even take a day off. He rested because his work was done. Operation restoration, complete. He's still doing things. Then God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, set it apart, put it in a special category, our Saturday, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the account. See, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day the Lord God made earth and heaven. Goes back to Genesis 1:1 and gives this history. Because this event occurred, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Adam. I will make him a helper suitable for him. that was the introduction of the opposite gender. 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from the tree of the garden." And here we go. She should have said, "Absolutely, that's what he said. Bye-bye." Or, "Adam, we got an issue here. Somebody has walked in as directly contradicting what Yahweh has been teaching us, I believe, I said for me, I believe, for 3 years. He walked with them in the garden every day and gave them Bible class, face-to-face teaching. Adam and Eve. He had a congregation of two. I keep this up, that's what I'm going to have. I'm not trying either. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like..." Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil." That's why we call that the age of innocence. Knowing good and evil. "And now he might stretch out his hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever." How about those apples? Pun intended. It was an accidental pun, actually. Those are the best kind. Everyone said, "Oh, they ate the apple." I don't know what kind of fruit it was. You know, the matter, it was a fruit, it was in a category by itself, and there's only one tree like it. There's only one tree that you could eat and live forever. And that's the immortal, everybody quest for the fountain of life. Because it would have set their genetics, got that aging gene mess that goes on, and people are studying like mad all over the world. That's good study too. I like that. That's nice. That's worthwhile science. I'm not against all science, just the stupid stuff. But anyway, that's how we wound up with our aging gene and our STA gene. Where are you going to go to learn that? Right here in the Bible. They did not want them running over there because apparently, if they'd ate of the tree of life, and that was never off limits to them until now. If they'd ate of the tree of life before they fell, it's not going to add anything. They're perfect from creation. But once they fell, they could have offset the aging gene and lived forever. It's this right here. Apart from an accident, murder, or something like that, they would have lived forever with a sin nature. Yuck. Can't have that. So they were driven out of the garden, and a guard was put around it. And those two trees just sat there. And no doubt were destroyed in the flood. But the one tree is brought back in a new form in the new earth. And people have to eat of it. Came out of the millennium to get rid of their death gene and get that elixir from the leaves of that same tree. God didn't make any kind of plan he wants to. Now understand something very clearly. God isn't limited in what he can create. Well, how does that work? It's not important. He can make it work. It's his word to Abraham and Sarah. Is anything too difficult for Yahweh? Can you pose any kind of a challenge to do anything for Yahweh? Now he isn't going to do stupid stuff. It contradicts his plan just to be doing it. But is anything too difficult if that's what's in appropriate? No. And making the sun do what it does, and the moon do what it does, and the stars and all the rest of it, that's not a problem. We know how so that realm is a realm in and of itself. Note that God did not name the two great lights, sun and moon, here. He did not name them. See, the one I left off is funny. It has to do with the flood event, all the crazy, all the evil that was going on in the pre-flood, the antediluvian era. And we have a summary verse that says that. And I like the New American Translation. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. Now those are anthropomorphisms. Or papathisms. Morph is body. Pathisms. Scribing to God a human emotion. so we can understand how ticked off he was at activities on the earth. Not that, oh, I wish I really flubbed out back there. You could take it that way. But it's not. It's like a human. I regret I ever met you. See? Something along those lines. The sun was designated to dominate the day. And we know that. That's observable. Greater. And the moon lesser to dominate the night. That doesn't mean the moonlight is a puny light. It's just a lesser light. There are times when it can be really intense. If you get away from city lights, get up in a certain altitude, you can read a newspaper with it. On a full moon deal. It is so bright, it's like amazing. But we don't experience that too much living in Oklahoma City because we've got all these lights and everything going on that obscures the beauty of all that. Do come back. Remember the proverb that I wrote to you, that I gave to you. I didn't write it. I wrote it out, but I didn't. He who gives an answer before he hears it out, it's folly to him and a shame to him. Thank you, Father, for the grace that enables us, even under difficulty, to move forward in the word of truth. Continue to bless me and the congregation in this situation. In Jesus' name. Amen.